very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here, 49ers Plus Minus with my co-host, The Athletic's Matt Barros. We are recording this Sunday night after the 49ers 16-15 victory over the Cardinals. 49ers go 3-0. Eddie Pinheiro comes through with a 35-yard field goal as time expired. So much weird happened at the end. So very little happened until basically the final minutes of the third quarter. Matt Barros, as I always ask you, what's your headline from this? What's your big takeaway from the 49ers 16-50 victory on Sunday?
I think Kyle Juszczyk put it best. He said that this team doesn't feel like its identity is what it will ultimately be, i.e. they're going to be a much better team than this. And yet they're 3-0 and they're alone at the top of the NFC West. And two things that they couldn't do last year, which was win division games and win tight, gritty games, they keep doing that week in and week out. Now, they're now 2-0 in the division, like I said, the only 3-0 team in the NFC West. That is impressive to be that sort of discombobulated, disjointed, and still come away with these wins, I think is something to be proud of. By the same token, they go through these games and they keep losing another big piece, another team captain, really. They've got 18 captains. They started today's game without two of them, Purdy and George Kittle. And then they lose Nick Bosa in the first quarter. And you can relay to the listeners and the watchers what Kyle Shanahan said about that. I asked him, can you eliminate anything? Can you say that he didn't get an ACL? And the answer was kind of interesting.
Am I playing Kyle?
You're Matt? Kyle.
We can't eliminate anything. Can't say that there's any definitive thing on anything, which is, in my opinion, this is me now, not Kyle. That's bad, because in the knee, you want to prove that the ACL is intact. You want to know that it's intact. That's what you start with. If you can't say it's intact for sure one way or the other, it is often not intact. It is often the negative proves to be true, the worst part of it. Don't know, right? Obviously, the MRI could show maybe a partial tear or, you know, some other injury that is not ACL. But given his history, having torn his ACL before, we all saw Bosa probably give his parents, I would imagine, in the stands, as he's limping over to the blue tent, the thumbs down. He knows what that feels like. Now, he didn't look like he was in excruciating pain, right? He did not look like he could, you know, he was walking around, and there was not a medical person with him while he was walking around, so much until they walked by him and got him to the medical tent. But he's in tent for a very long time. Obviously, they did a lot of the, you know, the manual tests. And then he looked like he was in more pain as he walked very slowly to the locker room. I misidentified somebody in the second half. I thought that was him. And you did not cut me off, but it's my fault. I tweeted it out. Turns out it was not him. It was Sebastian Valdez, who does look like Nick Bosa from the back, I should say. My bad. We did not see Bosa. Did not see Bosa in the locker room. Clearly, he's got some tests he's got to do. I think there was, you know, you have to assume the worst. And then be happy with anything less than that if you're the 49ers. I think at some point they're assuming he's going to miss some time, though, right? He's going to miss some time unless some miracle happens and there's no major damage, not even middling damage. But at this point, Barros, I think they have to assume he's missing some time.
Yeah, we should explain that when there's a knee injury like that, they give the player a physical exam, like they're literally
in the blue tent.
They're feeling up behind the knee, and there are a couple of different tests that you can do, and usually those are fairly accurate. In fact, I was trying to think of an instance in my quarter century of covering the 49ers where they thought one way or the other that the guy either did or did not have an ACL tear, and then they were wrong. And nothing sprang to mind. It's not 100%. And I think that's what Kyle Shanahan was saying, is that that physical test didn't indicate an ACL tear, i.e., it wasn't obvious. Mm-hmm. But he also said that that test isn't definitive. And here's the concerning part, is that he said that, you know, Bosa was worried, that Bosa was in pain. And as you noted, this is a guy who's had an ACL. He knows what it feels like. And so that's what kind of gives the team a lot of worry. Now, we should say that when he came out of that blue tent, he not only was walking around, he was doing like high knees and sort of running in place. He was testing the knee. So if they had told him, or that may have been the period or the time that, you know, he started to really be concerned, because they might have said, okay, we're not finding an ACL tear. But then when he did that sort of exercise, it could be that he started to feel poorly in that knee, and maybe had a familiar pain in it. We don't know. We have to wait for the MRIs. He was walking around after the game. He walked out of the locker room with his parents. This is Jennifer Lee Chan saw that happen. He was limping. He had a sleeve on the knee to protect the knee. So we don't know. I did think it was interesting that he was moving around like that afterwards. That doesn't scream ACL.
Yeah, that's not what happened the first time, right? 3 years ago, he was out. Like, that's it. He is on a cart. That is the season. Don't know. Obviously, you can have different kinds of tears. Whether that means 6 week out, 8 week out, season, who knows? But let's just note there was a difference. He was walking around, and there wasn't like three medical, like you would think, we think he's got an ACL. There would be three guys around him, right? He wouldn't be walking around on it. They'd put him on a cart and get him out of there. So it could be a sprain, you know, which is basically a slight tear. It could be all sorts of things. Obviously, a big part of the 49er season rides on it. What I always say, though, is when you are suffering these things, it is very important to get the win that you can, because you don't know how many wins you're going to get. Nothing is automatic about the season. We know they've already had their quarterback miss two games, and they've won both those games. They've had George Kittle miss two-plus games, and they've won those games. They have not had Brandon Ayuk for any of those games, and they've won those games. Now it is likely that they're going to miss Nick Bosa for at least a few games, one or two or three, whoever, however. And they won the game when he was out this one. He went out late in the first quarter. And the defense played good. And I thought they got pressure from their defensive line. Obviously, Bosa is their best defensive lineman. Bosa is a guy who's going to get most of the pressure. They had guys. Bryce Huff, I thought, was flying out there. The guy definitely has acceleration. He was playing, obviously, way more because they did not have Nick Bosa. He basically was playing the Bosa position. Mykael Williams, I thought, was active. And, you know, they've got to have some guys move into this role. Now, I don't think Arizona is the greatest offense in the whole world, but guess what? Neither is Jacksonville. Can you get to 4-0 with all this? Probably with Purdy coming back. DeMarcus Robinson now we know he's back after being suspended for three games. I think that is what we're generally seeing, is a team that is gutting these wins out. These are not statement wins, other than we're going to win these games. That's the only statement. We're not going to blow these games against, hey, Seattle and Arizona are not bad teams. I don't think Arizona's a great team. I don't think Arizona's the worst team in the NFC West, but they're going to win some games. They've already won two games. So when you have these questions, when you start losing players, you got to win the games you can, because you got to start piling up these wins in case the losses get to be the injuries get to be too much. And I thought, you know, that is once again what we saw that in week one. Not a perfect game in Seattle. They win. Maybe that's their best game, though. Probably win at Seattle would definitely be it. Week two in New Orleans, not their best game with Mac Jones at quarterback. They win. This was absolutely not their best game, and they win. We'll talk about Eddie Pinheiro. That's what I wrote about. As everyone knows, I must write about kickers. but this is just a fascinating aspect. I just think the moody point I was making more than anything was, this is going to be a season where every point counts. This is going to be a season where you have to believe, if you march down the field down by two, that your quarterback all of a sudden starts finding everybody instead of just throwing to Christian McCaffrey and Ricky Pearsall, finds Kendrick Bourne, finds Jake Tongas. You've got to be able to know you get a 40-yarder or in, 45-yarder and in, you're going to win. And they did not feel that with Jake Moody, and they hung on for as long as they could. They did not feel it at all last year. I think they should feel that about Abe Panero because his kicks are solid. They're right down the middle. There's never a doubt. The guy's definitely a confident guy. Doesn't mean that he's great. Doesn't mean he's terrible. But I think that pervades through the locker room. This guy's into it. And in a season where you're losing people, where you're gutting out possession by possession, when you're looking at a schedule that you could win out, not win a bunch of games, but it's going to be close, man, you got to have a kicker you can believe in. And this is a guy I think they can believe in. They found the right guy.
When he was setting up for that 51-yarder, I turned to Tim, who sits to my right in the press box, and I said, watch this. This ball is barely going to make it over the crossbar. And I swear to God, that thing was almost over the goalposts. I mean, it felt like it would have been good from 63, 65. It was a confident kick. That's a really interesting angle that you took. In hindsight, I wish I would have taken that angle. That's a good one. If I had told you, or if I told anybody back in August that the 49ers were going to face the Cardinals, a team that they've just had all sorts of trouble with, without Brandon Ayuk, without Juwan Jennings, without George Kittle, without Nick Bosa, and without Brock Purdy, you would have bet your mortgage that they lose that game, and somehow this team won it. And I think you have to give credit for the guys who did play, because the few stars that are left on that team. This guy's not even a star. The backup quarterback, Mac Jones, is part of that. Didn't have a great game, but played really well when he needed to on that last drive. He had a great game. Christian McCaffrey had just a monster, very workmanlike game. He had a huge load. I mean, he was everything for a while on that offense, and he delivered. And then Ricky Pearsall was the other offensive guy that just really came through. And then, the defense is a whole other story. They played fantastically, held up when they had to, held up when the offense let everybody down and there was a safety and then there was an interception. That entire group, minus Nick Bosa, played really well at the end. But, it was just the team made plays, whether it was Upton Stout or Fred Warner, jumping 6 feet in the air to knock down that third down pass. Yep. I mean, there were some big plays, not a lot of big takeaways or anything like that, but the defense made plays, the offense made plays when it had to. And I thought it was really interesting. This is what I wrote about on that last drive. This was an offense that, 26 of Mac Jones's throws, and remember, one of them was a spike. 26 of 38 throws went to either McCaffrey or Ricky Pearsall. Mm-hmm. And then on that final drive, you saw a throw to Jake Tonjes. You saw two throws to Kendrick Bourne. You saw Sky Moore get his first ever reception with the 40. Tim and I were talking about that. Sky Moore was on the field a lot. And we were saying, okay, what's this guy doing on the field? He's not part of this offense. He isn't doing anything. He's basically a decoy. And then he ends up getting a nice catch on the pivotal drive. So my point is that they diversified when they had to. And I think that it speaks very well of Mac Jones.
Hey, Brian Robinson got an important carry on that yard. I mean, they were just throwing everybody out there. They had to. Everybody went MVS. MVS might be out of the picture.
You got to catch. Not on that drive, but.
Yeah, but I'm not sure about him in the long term with Robinson coming back, with Ayuk coming back, maybe with Cowan coming back. That's a whole other thing. Let's talk about Mac Jones. Did not look great, but turns out he did have a knee thing. He's had a knee thing for a while now. This is something to watch. If he's we're all thinking Purdy's coming back, but this is a recurring knee thing for Mac Jones, which makes an unathletic quarterback even more athletic, which Shanahan said, like, that changed some of his play calling. He couldn't roll guys out. He couldn't roll Mac out. How could he even get there? I think it affected, obviously, the safety when he did have a rusher come straight up, but he couldn't really get around him. And Pooney felt so bad, he had to basically tackle or half tackle him. Like, that's a gutty last drive out of a guy who threw an interception fairly soon before that, who had not been throwing accurate balls very much, except for to Pearsall. And we'll talk about that fourth down throw earlier. Was amazing throw to Pearsall. Amazing, like, fourth and two, and just let it go over the shoulder. Ricky Pearsall tumbling out of bounds. This guy, Pearsall, is turning into a very good NFL receiver, and that is a huge thing for the 49ers for now and for down the road. You can see him and Ayuk and Jennings being a really nice three-headed receiver, and going into the future, I think Pearsall is headed to being wide receiver one, as things we were talking about in the summer, right? We were saying the 49ers really seem to like him, and I was kind of like a little skeptical of that. I thought maybe it was partly them. They're so down in Ayuk, and they're so down at the time with Jennings, just the situation. Maybe it was just a little bit of over-optimism. I do criticize them for this. I think what they're saying for Pearsall is what we're seeing now, and they were right. Like, this guy's making catches. He's making catches downfield. I can't think of a catch he's made that hasn't been worth a first down. Like, the guy just gets past the chains, mostly because he's averaging like 18 yards of catch, so that will do it. But I think Mac Jones showed a lot of guts. Mac Jones was the right pick as the backup. Mac Jones is incredibly thoughtful. My goodness, his post-game pressers, Barros, are just fascinating. And you asked him a question, because he had mentioned when he gets the ball at the end of the game down two, like, yeah, I was thinking, like, this is something I failed at a lot in my career. And I knew he wasn't mentioned – it wasn't Alabama he was talking about there. Because Alabama being down meant they were only up by 17 instead of up by 30. But just talking about the times he wasn't really a good NFL quarterback, mostly in New England. Although he was also a Pro Bowl alternate in New England his rookie year. But things did not end well. Things were okay for him after that. But it's just an introspection we don't normally get from backup quarterbacks, because usually they're the I'm great, right? They have to have these confidence. I'm obviously thinking Trent Dilfer and Blaine Gabbert and whatever. Like, Brian Hoyer was like a career backup who got a start for the Fortnite. It was just this blustery. It was all bluster. Mac Jones is not bluster. And maybe that's from his time being the quarterback for Nick Saban. It's hard to be blustery when you have that guy on top of you. Guy who's had Bill Belichick as his coach. I just have found him refreshing. I haven't written about him really, but I'm finding this introspection very interesting for this moment in his career.
He's very self-effacing, and he's got a giggle, very high-pitched, and it's goofy. I mean, and you don't get goofy in the NFL. Well, you do with George Kittle a lot, but this seems more almost like childlike. He's funny. It amounts to, well, honesty, which we appreciate. I mean, he basically said he didn't know the play that they called on that screen pass to Christian McCaffrey. It's something that they hadn't run a lot. He's new to the team, and he had to like double check with McCaffrey what the play was. And this is on that. This is the play of that drive. Seconds,
30, like 24 seconds left.
And he's telling us the story of, hey, Christian, what am I supposed to do on this play? Oh, okay. I got it. So, I mean, it's just interesting. It's funny. It's disarming. And I think we're figuring out why he's so likable on the team. I mean, the players really like him. I think that was probably the case in New England, certainly early on in New England. We'll have to ask Kendrick Bourne that. But yeah, it's a very interesting personality, because it's this mix of confidence. I mean, this guy strides in with this checked suit, no socks. He's got this look about him that he sticks to. He wore an all red suit in Seattle in week one. And then, on fourth and two, he throws the ball like 65 yards. I mean, he's on the opposite hash, and he's throwing a go route down the sideline on the field side of the play, you just need 2 yards to pick up a first down. And I swear to God, that ball traveled. It must have traveled 75 yards. So it's this odd mix of there's some insecurity in there. I mean, you could almost see the anguish on his face after he made the mistake with the interception and then the safety. And he's thinking, okay, this is what I got blamed for in New England. I couldn't win these tight games. I blew tight games, mistakes at the end, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's coming here to San Francisco to pull a Sam Darnold, to resurrect his career, to put himself on a higher platform when he does become a free agent in 2027. And here he is, you know, same old narrative that he's going to be facing. And yet he has the ability to reverse that narrative, to turn it around with a really impressive drive. And he had one at the end of the half in New Orleans as well. An impressive drive with a very kind of, I don't want to say oddball cast of characters, but when you have McCaffrey and Pearsall on your team, it's pretty good. But the rest of them were, you know, it's the island of misfit toys. It's Jake Tonjes. It's Sky Moore wasn't wanted by the Chiefs. It's Kendrick Bourne wasn't wanted by the Patriots. That's, given the cast of characters, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was not 75 yards. Let's just make sure I'm not agreeing. It was like 55 yards, but 75 is like the most.
My point is that they needed 6 feet and they got like 85 feet.
It was a great throw. I was a little confused by Shanahan's answer to you when you asked him about that. He's like, oh, I don't, an NFL quarterback throwing to the field side. That's just, you know, like that's farther. That's like to the boundary side, it's less. So I'm not 100% sure what he was saying there.
Yeah, I thought it was because when you're throwing to the field side, it's just open grass. And so it's basically, you know, when you gather with your friends in the park, you just put it up there and the guy's able to run underneath it, which is what happened. But it's still, I mean, that ball dropped right into his red basket.
It was a
great pass.
It was a Russell Wilson kind of, you know, ball way up in the air, dropping straight down on a receiver. And it's a tough catch, too, because Ricky Pearsall, because it's such an angle, is having to angle his body and catching it over his shoulder and hold on to it as he falls down out of bounds. All those things were immense about it. The guy's got a nice arm. He definitely has a nice arm, not mobile. With a knee injury, is even less mobile. They're having to figure that out. The running game was tough. They can't quite, you know, the dynamics of it were not great until the end when McCaffrey popped up, didn't pop, but got like a 15, 16 yarder in there. Got up to, I think, 50 yards rushing. They think as a team, they're up to 75. That's not terrible at all from where it was. They were at minus -1 in the first three drives, I think, rushing the ball. And we know that it's not a Shanahan style offense whatsoever. But I think, like, you know, everything's a work in progress. They're 3-0. You take it. You take whatever you can while you're 3-0. You do it however you can. I think the offensive line is okay, but they've got some injuries. I think the pass blocking is okay. I think the defensive line is good. Now we'll see with Bosa. I think Winters and Warner are terrific. You can just count on that. Secondary, okay. We saw a lot of Jair Brown out there, basically as a linebacker. I always say it's like basically the strong side linebacker. Clearly, you're lighter that way. You're going up against two tight end situations. They would rather have him out there than Luke Gifford most of the time. Just interesting things. Like it's just an interesting puzzle pieces we're seeing out there. Again, not with the greatest competition. But now, you know, I've said I want to see them in the NFC West. That's going to be my barometer because the rest of their schedule is so weak. It's the two South, NFC South and the NFC South, and they're 2-0, one on the road, one at home. That Rams game is obviously coming up looming large in week 5. But we'll see how the rest of the schedule is, but they're already up 2-0 in the NFC West, and that is a gigantic situation for them. Maybe they were, you know, they've been more talented. They've certainly been healthier over the years, but 3-0 is 3-0, and you build yourself some cushion when you do that.
Yeah, and you build yourself momentum too, and you believe in yourself. You know, whereas the atmosphere around the team last year was not good, even with all these injuries, there's still a positivity about it. It's a weird dynamic. Because you would think, losing Nick Bosa, that's a death knell. And they admitted it as much back in 2020 when that injury happened. They looked back and said, after that game, there's no way we could have recovered from that. And I forget what they did, 6-10 or 6-11 that year. I forget.
6-11. Yeah.
No, that wasn't.
No, Bosa. Yeah, Bosa. That was, I think that was 5-12, maybe. I forget. Yeah. Let's jump over that.
We'll jump over it. But my point is that there was.
That was COVID and they were in Arizona.
They were, but they won that game. They won the Jets game and then they came back and they won the Giants game a week later. But yet there was still that element about the team that MRI truck that they sent to West Virginia broke down. I mean, they just seemed really snake bit and that they weren't going to get out of it. Like I said, to start off with the Kyle Juszczyk quote, they think that they're going to get better. And I understand your point is that usually if you're in this kind of whirlpool of injuries, they don't automatically, miraculously disappear and you're healthy again. You're probably going to be fighting them all season. But, they are winning the schedule, there'll be some tough games in there for sure. Going to Tampa, playing at the Rams on Thursday night, short week, short turnaround, but, they're 3-0 and they put themselves in a good position.
All right, whether it's for two games or the rest of the season, how are they going to replace Bosa?
Well, I mean, as you noted, Bryce Huff, my whole equation was that they've been looking for a Bosa bookend for years and years, and that Bryce Huff plus Mykal Williams equals Nick Bosa. So you kind of alternate those two guys on the other side and you get someone who starts to compare to Bosa. So, I mean, they're going to have to do that individually now. And this experiment of using Ytir Gross-Matos as a defensive tackle, I guess you can still do that on obvious passing downs, but he's going to have to play a lot more defensive end. So your defensive ends are now, luckily you were deep at that position. Mykal Williams, Bryce Huff, who's mostly a pass rusher, Ytir Gross-Matos, and Sam Okwuonu. And then on practice squad, you've got Robert Beal and Travis Gibson, who look good in the preseason. So you do have some bodies there. None of them is Nick Bosa. And so it's going to be a psychological blow for this team if he's out for a while, and they're going to have to figure out a way to duplicate what he gives you on defense. Now, they did. I mean, they played really well. This was the third straight game where this defense delivers, whether it's Nick Bosa on the field or not, in the fourth quarter. This has been a good team in crunch time defensively. So, like I said, that sort of builds momentum. That builds a belief. That's our signature. I'm sure Robert Saleh is hammering that ad nauseum in the meeting room. But it can sort of, seep in and become part of the culture.
I want to point out one thing. James Conner was hurt in the first half. Really serious-looking injury. So that's one. Conner's hurt them a lot over the years. We're talking about injuries. Every team has injuries. That was a very serious one. It's going to affect Arizona throughout the season. It really affected him in this game. But that's the NFL. These are brutal injuries. It's a brutal sport. But I didn't want to point that one out. And you know what? You just got to figure out a way. And they've got some guys there. I think they're probably going to have to bring up Gibson from the practice squad. They need some depth there. But Mykal Williams, let's see it. He landed on his wrist and was out for a little bit. Came back in, I thought played a tough game. I mentioned, I thought he wasn't dominant. I don't know that he's going to be a dominant player. He was just solid. It's just tough to get through him. It's tough to run his way. He's long. He holds the edge. This is a good player. And they need more of that. I did not see Alfred Collins or C.J. West much. I think you noticed C.J. West was getting some medical attention I saw him after the game. He seemed fine, but we have not seen the rookies kind of raise that level. We've seen them go to other players. Maybe that's normal, but just wanted to point that out after I think Collins played pretty well in week two. I just didn't see him out there very much in this game. But it was just everything about this game you could look at. You could pick it up and kind of examine it. You know, Sky Moore taking the fair catch inside the 10-yard line was brutal because it pinned them back, and that's how they end up getting the safety eventually. But then he doesn't take the fair catch on the next one, and they start at the 20, and that allowed them to get a faster drive. Just a lot of different things were happening in this game that two or three things go wrong, they lose this game. And two or three things went wrong last season in almost every close game, and they're noting it. I mean, I think, you know, at some point I get tired of saying it, but they're saying it themselves. Like, these are not games that they necessarily would have won last year. And they've won three straight. You would like to see them run the ball better. They're not running the ball great so far this season. If you're a 49er fan, you would like to see, obviously, the guys get healthy. But this is fighting stuff, and I give them credit for this. I give Shanahan's coaching staff credit for this. I give the players the gutsiness for it, and then we'll see how the injury stuff plays out from there. I think Bryce Huff was a finisher last game. Played really well this game when he was needed. It's just interesting. They've closed their three wins with a Bosa strip sack. Obviously, he's a superstar. But then a Bryce Huff strip sack and then an Eddie Pinheiro field goal. Two new guys. They can be criticized for some draft picks. They can be criticized for some things I think some guys they let go. I will not mention their names, you know, for the thousandth time. But I think they've made some good moves. Mac Jones, Bryce Huff, Eddie Pinheiro, there's a few others that have been really solid moves.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. You know, I would say that the special teams blunder, I mean, if you're, how do I put this? Last year, the special teams blunders were big ones. They were catastrophic.
Catastrophic, absolutely.
In what was it, a block punt in Minnesota? I mean, there were two in Los Angeles, in the loss of the Rams.
Right? Yeah, the fake punt was brutal.
Yeah. So, you know, Sky Moore fair catching at the six compared to those, it's a gaffe, but it's not a deal breaker type of gaffe. And I think that Sky was being smart. He suckered the Cardinals into punting it deep on the second one and getting a touchback. And that gave the 49ers a bit of a boost to start that drive. But no, I totally agree with you. And that's sort of going to be the narrative for this season. Can the new guys, can unexpected guys step up like Bryce Huff, like Pinheiro, like Mac Jones, like Kendrick Bourne did on the final drive? Your guy, Brian Robinson, had a 19-yard carry. It was the longest carry of the day. That's what they're going to have to do. I mean, like I said at the outset, the team captains on this team are dazzling stars. These are superstar guys, but half of them aren't playing already, and it's only week three. So the rest of that galaxy, that cluster of stars has to really start to shine.
All right, Barros, we did 32 minutes on this game. We could do a lot more, but I think let's save it. Possibly will be an emergency podcast tomorrow. You guys know what the topic would be. Let's see what the MRI result is. I think maybe even either way, we shall see, but that could be tomorrow afternoon. That's why I said, Barros, let's get one out. Let's record it tonight. It'll be posting tomorrow morning. You will be listening to this hopefully Monday morning, and we'll see what the news is on Monday afternoon or maybe earlier than that on Nick Bosa. You know, I don't want to predict anything, but because the reaction was so different, I'm not thinking it's going to be the worst case. I could be wrong. We don't know. It's the knee. A lot of things could happen. But my sense is it's going to be something in the middle, but that's probably 4 to 6 weeks at least would just be my inclination, which obviously could be wrong. I am not a doctor. I do not play one on the podcast, but just felt different. Just felt a little bit different on this one. Could be different. All right, Barros, you got anything else?
Nope, that's it. I agree with you, but people hate it when we agree.
I did not agree with you eating that hamburger in the press box at halftime. I'll put it that way. I looked over, I saw you doing, and guess what I did? You saw what I did. I kept
protein bar,
granola bar, my granola bar. I like that granola bar at halftime. I do not like halftime hamburgers.
Or you California liberal granola bar.
I'll eat before the game. I'll eat after the game. During the game, it's always a little like I'm not quite sure I want to feel like that walking down into the locker room after. So I'm sure you feel terrific, Barrows.
Feel great.
You're just hardier than all of us. All right, everybody, that's the show for today. We'll talk to you again soon. We'll be right back.